Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. No, Tim did not clip the audio at the beginning of this. I actually began by saying hello. I left the H off, Tim. No. I'm trying to get back moments of time, so I'm cutting certain letters and words out of my sentences.
That's original.
Yeah. I mean, it probably took longer to explain than it was with what I saved, but now you know the gist of it.
Okay, sure.
So we are here. We're back having a little bit of fun. I got to tell you, there are some people that you meet, Tim, in your neighborhood. They're the people that you meet each day.
I've heard that.
Suddenly, am I rolling into Mr. Rogers or is that Sesame Street?
I can't remember. Sesame Street.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You meet some people out in the paranormal field that just you instantly connect with and adore. And that is who we are lucky enough to have on the show with us today. I remember being introduced to our guest years ago and fell madly in love with her at that moment. Her personality, her humor, her just overall, this woman glows. If you are in her presence, you cannot help but have a fun time. And a few months back, as I was working with our friends in the publishing world, they said, "Dave, do you know anybody that's got a story worth telling?" And I said, "You know, it's funny you ask. As a matter of fact, I do." And I called Kitsy and I said, "Hey, have you got a book in you?" And she said, what? And I said, "A book. Do you think?" "Well, I've always wanted to write a book." "Well, do you think you're ready to tell your story?" She said she did. And damn it, to her accord, Tim, she started 2 months after me. Her book is out and available through Beyond the Fray Publishing. I am still trying to piecemeal mine together.
Oh.
So this woman knows her stuff. Paranormal researcher Kitsy Duncan has lived most of her life terrified of the existence of the paranormal. But after losing her father, she wanted to know more about life after death. And this hunger for knowledge led her to the world of ghost hunting and paranormal research. Quickly, she found herself obsessed with proving that the spirit world isn't as scary as many think. And for over 12 years now, she and her crew at the Oddity Files have investigated some of the most infamous haunted locations in the world. And they've come away with evidence that will prove to you that not only are these locations haunted, but these spirits have a story to tell. Her new book, her first book, "I'd Rather Talk to Dead People: My Journey as a Paranormal Researcher," acclaimed host of the Oddity Files, joining us here again today, Kitsy Duncan. Kitsy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. That is the best intro ever. Do you take check?
No, I just, you know what? Because I know that right in that first page, it's my biggest thanks goes to my family, but more importantly, to the man who stood behind me through it all, Dave Schrader of Darkness Radio. That was a reward enough for me, right, Kitsy?
You did the whole story of how this went down. Usually I give my Dave Schrader impersonation when people are like, "So what made you write a book?" And I'm like, "Well, Kitsy, this is Dave Schrader. And I was wondering if you ever thought of writing a book," but you did it much better than I did. So,
Tim, I'm sorry. I got to call out a true superstar of imitations when I hear one. Is it me or did she nail that imitation of me?
That was pretty close. But I also want to point out, Kitsy, the whole reason he wouldn't take a check is because checks bounce. You probably just want to Venmo him. It's a lot easier. Yeah.
Yes. Kitsy has been our guest, I think, twice. Once when we were aboard the Jericho cruise. No, Walker Stalker cruise.
Walker That's what Stalker. It was. Yeah.
That's right. The final Walker Stalker cruise. And we got to hang out, and Kitsy was kind enough to introduce me to some of the celebrities, and she did our podcast from aboard the ship. So it's good to have you back, Kitsy, and I'm so proud of you. I got to tell you that honestly. I'm so proud of you. The book, amazing. I'm so glad that I reached out to you because, like I said, there's a few people you meet that you just know this person's got something to share. And man, did I make the right call with you. So I'm glad you got the book out there. How does it feel to sit there knowing you've had these experiences, knowing this has been your life, but then to finally put fingers to keyboard and share it with the rest of the world?
It was amazing. It kind of gave me a chance to reflect and realize some really monumental things happened on some of these investigations, where it's not just learning from the pros like you, but these spirits are teaching me how to investigate as well. And it's just so magical.
You know, revealing, it's one thing to do a podcast and then do your Oddity Files show that streams and such. But, you know, there's always kind of that protective coding there that, you know, doesn't let people as deeply into your life and your thoughts on the afterlife. Sitting down and writing, which has been the biggest problem for me, is I'm self-editing myself to a nauseating point where I just feel like that's too much, or I don't feel like I'm given enough to this story. What can I bring to it to make it come alive? Not needing to fake it, but, you know, getting past the boundaries of holding myself back. How hard a process was that for you to actually put down in words?
You know what? I didn't overthink it. And that's probably what you're doing as well. But pretty much you read my book and it's like having a conversation with me. It's a little all over the place. It's a lot of, oh, here's exactly what was going on in my head while I was at Bobby Mackey's and saw a glowing apparition right in front of my face. And, you know, it's first for your advice for you. Don't overthink it. Just be you. Again, you're an amazing human being. So just show them who you are. That's what I tried to do. And, you know, it's just, I kind of went through all the most prolific investigations where I had that wow moment. Some of them, I went over two investigations top to bottom, where it was, you know, the entire investigation was one spirit communicating, and we had this connection the entire night I was investigating those places. And those two spirits followed me home, you know, whatever, they're nice ladies. I like having them here. But, and that's taught me so much about the paranormal. Just because you tell a ghost they can't follow you home doesn't mean they're not gonna.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've all learned that the hard way on occasion. Now, you say in your little bio blip that, you know, it was kind of your father's death that pushed you into wanting more. You know, I was lucky enough that my mom was alive through most of my journey with Darkness Radio and got to do some of these events and see these things for herself. It's been quieter since she left. And I'm wondering, in your, you know, with the instigation of your father's passing and trying to find out more information, do you feel that you've connected with your dad as well?
I unfortunately have not directly, but I know sometimes he's in the back of my head and, hey, that might be a ghost. I don't even know. It's kind of talking to me in my head, telling me, push forward, keep doing what you're doing. But when I actually sat down, I'm like halfway through, you know, this journey thus far. And I sat down with the spirit medium, Tiffany Rice. She's amazing. And when she came through and told me that my dad was watching everything and that he was following it along. Now, I don't understand why he doesn't come over on my spirit box. I'm a little annoyed. He'll get there eventually. But he's proud of what I'm doing. And, you know, I just wanted to know he was okay and not just sitting in a box somewhere, if that makes any sense. And he is. And there's others with him. And there's this whole world that has been opened up to me because of his death. Yeah, it was sad and it still breaks my heart and there were no goodbyes, but this is kind of me paying homage to him to let maybe bring somebody else, a loved one, into their life at this point.
Do you ever ask that of your father when you're at a location? Do you ever ask if he can help the spirits to communicate better?
I haven't. However, I do have a spirit I do turn to in those occasions. There was a spirit that followed me home from the Culbertson Mansion in New Albany, Indiana, one of the most amazing places I've ever been. And she only communicated with me, no other members of the crew that entire night. And I hear her, and it's been, 4 or 5 years now? She still comes over on my spirit box, odd box, whatever. And she's helping me get these spirits to trust me and want to communicate with me. It's insane.
Do you have, to this degree now, do you feel that when you go into most places that are well known to be haunted, do you have a connection? Are you able to find something there, or are there still dead spots for you, even in places that are well known haunts?
It's been a long time since I've had dead space, but it was a location that I had investigated in the past that was super active, and then I went back and nothing. But I'm super fortunate. I'm not sure what light is shining upon me from above, but these spirits just want to communicate with me and my crew. And we've gotten, you know, we've had spirits that were known for being demons in a location come through and, you know, try to scare us at first, but just came through at the end and said, you know what? We're just saying that we're demons because we think that's what people want to hear. But I have the most crisp, clear EVP come over on the spirit box of a female voice. She said her name was Linda, that said, but we are just people.
Has your concept of what ghosts really are, has that changed much since, you know, what you went into thinking the world was or the afterlife was to where you are now in your journey?
You know, a little bit. I was terrified of this stuff as a kid. I really was. And I'm not anymore. So I would say, yeah, I did a quick 180 on that. I don't feel like these spirits are out to hurt anybody. I feel like they just want to communicate with us. They just want to tell their story. And you know, if somebody's an asshole in life, they're going to be an asshole in death. And if somebody's walking into an investigation scared right off the bat, anything that happens is going to seem somewhat malevolent. And then you add a ghost that's got a bad attitude on top of that. I understand why people think there are demons everywhere in the world. But I think we all just need to open up our, I'm going to sound like a hippie real quick, but we need to open up our hearts. We need to show a little empathy to these spirits so we can find out what's really going on, why they're there, and why they're trying to communicate. I feel like any haunting is just a spirit and energy trying to communicate. They have a story to tell. They're here for a reason.
And what are your thoughts now on the concept of demons and dark forces at every location? I mean, you know, a lot of people build that legend up in their own mind because of their fear factor. How often do you find that you actually come into contact with something you would, you know, deem to be truly a demonic force?
I have never run into a demonic force ever in any investigation. I've been to Bobby Mackey's. I've been to Fear Factor. I've been to locations that were specifically known for demon infestation. And I have never, ever, ever run into it. Granted, I go into every investigation a little different than, you know, your average Joe paranormal investigator. I walk into the place. And I let any spirit within earshot know that I am there out of love, light, peace, and positivity. I'm not there to hurt them. I'm not there to harm them. And I tell them I expect the same. Now, if somebody gets a little snarky with me, and by somebody, I mean spirit, I turn the snark on and I call it my mommy voice and I give them a firm talking to. And, you know, it's just like dealing with a real person. They come around. If you show them the time and again the empathy, they're going to come around hopefully and show their who they really are.
The reason I ask that is because you throw out the protection and kind of set those boundaries. Do you believe that these places just really are devoid of a true demonic force, or do you think that you have protected yourself enough that they just don't bother with you?
You know, if demons are what people say they've been, would that really matter? I mean, if it was a true demon at Bobby Mackey's, you'd think he'd want to come at me because I surround myself with the love, light, peace, and positivity. And you'd almost think he'd want to prove me wrong because I walk into these places, I'm like, I don't believe in demons. I don't think they're on every street corner. I'm probably setting myself up for the next demon to take me down, but
that's why we asked. Tim and I are always like, let's bait her into a war with a demon.
Yeah, exactly. It just happened. Are you happy?
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, but I just don't think there, because I've gone into locations and you just get a vibe. Jails, you feel the evil, but look at all the people that were there. You know, that's the energy that's left behind. It doesn't mean it's a demon. And I walked into Bobby Mackey's basement blindfolded. It's so all my senses would be there so I could feel energies and entities and nothing, man, nothing.
With that said, then, has there been a location you've gone into and maybe been a little too open and had something negatively affect you either there or later in your life?
Not that I'm aware of. Again, I've only had two very nice girls follow me home that I know of. I do have a tarot card reading. Last time I was at Zach Bagans Haunted Museum, and I walk in and the tarot reader goes, "Ooh, you got a lot of attachments."
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah, and I was like, wait, what?
But did she tell you for just $49.95 and the new Ghost Away spray, she could get you and take care of you?
No, she's actually really cool about it. She's like, here's what you got to do. You got to stop offering up your energy to these spirits. Because, you know, we've all done it. You're like, you need energy. Take some energy from me. I used to do it a whole lot. I do not anymore. But she says, if I stop that, that they'll stop latching on. So I should probably go back at some time.
Yeah. Jeez. How greatly has your understanding of the supernatural changed from when you, you know, kind of stumbled into this to where you are now years later?
I have more questions every day. So I'm still waiting for the rule book of the paranormal to fall out of the sky. You know, wouldn't that be handy to have? But no, I have new questions every day pop up. And
see, it would be my luck. My luck would be, Kitsy, that it would fall out of the sky, but it's written by the same people that write IKEA instructions on how to put together a dresser. So it would do me no good.
Yeah, same. Or, you know, in Mandarin, and I'd be like, oh, God, I don't even know if you translate this for me. Yeah, you know, I'm sure you feel the same way as well. There's really no specific answers to any of these questions we have.
Yeah, and to me, that's a little disarming, because you figure after all of this time, why? Why aren't we getting closer to a true understanding of what's taking place?
Yeah. I mean, they can come out with the fancy new equipment, like the SLS, and you're like, oh, now we can see them. But now I'm like, well, why can't I see that with my naked eye, but this little laser grid thing is picking it. It's like every time we get new and better equipment that's proving to us as paranormal investigators that they're out there, it just leaves more questions.
Yeah. It's definitely a frustrating aspect of the work, because I do feel like I've come around on a lot of different things. Obviously, we've all kind of elevated. Well, the majority is elevated from seeing dust particles flying by to believing that those were spirits at one point, or spiritual energy, to now realizing what they are, dust and bugs and moisture. Mm-hmm. But where do you weigh in on aspects of orb phenomena? Is that something that you lend any credence to at all?
No, I really don't. I've seen, you know, I've been filming myself walking around in dark, empty locations for years. And I know that an orb is generally just dust. Now, sometimes you get that one orb that's like pulsating light and you're like, could it be? No, I'm not sure. And again, more questions. Why is this one orb pulsating light over my head, but none of the other dust orbs are doing that? I'm like, well, maybe there's like a little piece of diamond in there and it's picking up the IR light. I'm always trying to debunk that kind of stuff. And like, photographs you get with, you know, like weird stuff behind you. Is it always matrixing or pareidolia, or is it really something that's trying to peek through from the other side? I do always try to give it, look at it and say, you know, is there any way it could be? And then 9 times out of 10, you know, just like the general population, I'm like, you know, I'm pretty sure that's not what I think it is.
What have been some of the biggest changes for you in your journey? Maybe from where you started believing X and now understand it to be Y or Z?
You know, I think the main thing was from when I first started this, I don't think they're out to hurt anybody. Like I told you earlier, I don't think that's their intention. Sometimes I feel like that's just them trying extra hard to communicate, whether I've never been scratched either. So I kind of on the fence with that one. But maybe if somebody does get scratched, it's that spirit with all their energy and all their might, just trying to reach out and grab on and get your attention. I think that's what a lot of this scary stuff is, and why it's not scary to me anymore, is because I just feel like they're trying to reach out. They're just trying. I mean, now that we're all in quarantine, I mean, we get it, right? We're just trying to reach out and communicate with anybody who'll listen.
I feel the same way, but you know, there are some days I feel kind of an emptiness when it comes to it, because there are days that I feel like I think we have influenced the moment more than something spiritual, that our expectations, our impressions, our own energy may have created the result that we were looking for. And, you know, there's still that fear for me, Kitsy, when, you know, I've had two technically near-death experiences. Both were devoid of any activity.
Really?
Yeah. So there was no light. There was no voices. There was no family. There was no friends. There was black. There was nothing. There was no conscious awareness of death. And, you know, I've heard people that were dead on the table for 5 seconds and they had this profound experience where God came to them and said, "It's not your time," you know, unless God was just on the other side of the door holding it tight going, "Oh shit, not Schrader. Not yet. Not yet." And I wasn't allowed through. I'm not sure how that works, but
he's like, "Tell him I'm not in today. Just tell him I'm not in."
He's like, he turns off all the lights and tells Jesus to just lay down on the floor. Maybe he'll go away.
Don't move.
I see, that bothers me. People, you know, I've come to different, I've come to comfort in a few different ways regarding death, but then there are some of those aspects that still leave me curious, you know.
Terrifying, man.
Yeah. And it's so weird there. Like I said, I've adapted, and, you know, and Tim, asking you, I mean, you and I have always had strange stuff in our lives, but where we both started this journey 15 years ago to where you are today, how radically different do you look at ghosts, spirits, and the other side?
I'd say quite a bit differently, although I want to add something a little bit to the near-death thing, because I did come dangerously close too with my own experience, and I didn't see anything, but that didn't shake my faith. And it was explained to me by someone, and I don't know how much weight you put in psychics and whatnot, but it was explained to me by two or three different people who claimed to have abilities as to why I didn't see anything. And the one that hit me the hardest, and I know you may roll your eyes a little bit when I say this, and you don't have to tell me if you do or not. It was simply put to me this way: it wasn't your time. If it was your time, you would have seen something. Even if it was meant for you to have a life-changing or life-altering experience, or if you would have been on a wrong path, you would have needed that life-altering experience to have gone, you know, down that white light or that tunnel to change your path, or you know, you would have needed that shakeup at that time. Because for me at the time where I was feeling myself slipping away. I saw the edges of the room go dark. But I didn't feel myself slipping away or going down this tunnel with this white light, or I didn't see the relatives or anything like that. And I felt to myself, well, does this mean that this is the end? And you know, that there's nothing, you know, and I had that moment of, like you did, like, well, wait a minute, you know, is that it? But it never shook my faith. And that's when I started talking to a few different people about it and thinking, well, wait a minute, why didn't I see something? And I got the, what some people may roll their eyes and think, oh, well, of course, that's a pretty carbon copy answer to say, well, you know, it wasn't your time. Okay, yay. Of course you would say that. But there was some detailed follow-up to it as well. Why give someone that experience, or why go down that tunnel? Why give someone that experience, that life-altering experience, if it's not needed? Why give someone a lesson if it doesn't need to be taught? Why slap someone in the face and give them a shocking experience if it doesn't need to be dealt? Just something to think about.
Wow.
All right, hold
That's
on.
Amazing.
I like that thought, Tim. Here, kids, take it. Now we're gonna all get deep. No, you're right. I don't know. But then other people, Tim, like I said, you know, they're flatlined for 5 seconds and they have some profound message. We're guys with a voice in this field. Kitsy is an investigator in this field who, you think, you know, giving us the opportunity to come back and share something seems like it would reach more people, but and then, it would be helpful. That's, you know, why Jimbo Billy Bob gets picked up by the aliens and Tim Dennis doesn't. Makes no sense to me.
But then it does. Think about this for a second, Dave. I'll give you the other part of this message that I got. Okay. And again, it's a little personal, but I'll deliver the message to you too. You sit here every single week, a few times a week, and you listen to people who deliver this message directly to you, and it's up to you as to whether you believe it or not. So this message is delivered to you a few times a week, every single week, and it's up to you whether you believe that message or not. And you get this message continually, week after week after week, and yet it's at that dying moment. It's up to you whether you believe it or not. You don't need the message. You've been delivered this message over and over and over again. So why would you need that message one more time? You get this message over and over and over again. You preach this message on the show over and over and over again. You get the message from different people who have had the experience over and over and over again. How many times do you need to be slapped in the face before you believe the message?
It's 2,756,480 times. I did calculations while you had that part of the conversation. No, I get it. But again, I think wherein lies the problem is hearing other people that you love, trust, respect, having an experience is still not the same until you've been there.
Exactly. Right. And when it's your time, you'll have that experience, but it's not your time. So why have that experience? What is it in your life you feel you need to turn around that you have to have that experience?
I just feel personally, you know, it's just knowing that, well, first of all, wouldn't it be great to know that I'm not just wasting countless hours of my life hunting for answers that don't exist? Because when we're done, we're done. Boy, it'd be good to get some of those hours back. On the other side, if there is something there, you know, and an answer is to be found, it would just be nice to get some kind of, you know, even scientists that are looking into theoretics, they get some forms of quantifiable action to keep them interested. So the things that I experience don't always lead me to understand that, this was a disincarnate spirit. I don't know that necessarily that's what I saw. I don't know that I just didn't see a parallel universe, a reflection, a refraction, a replay, something that...
Is it your mind playing tricks on you? Because that's what you want to see.
Yeah. that's where it comes in. It, you know, that's where it gets strange, is it's like, I get everybody's had this. I get everybody's had these moments, or many of our guests have, but it's kind of that feeling of wanting more validation. You know, I mean, I've had little things with my mom that to many of our listeners would just close the book. This was an experience I know for a fact. Or is, in my mind, it keeps going, or is it wishful thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where so much of this gets sticky for me, where it comes to the you know, the overall aspect of the paranormal. Now, looking at your own life, Kitsy, and looking at the things that you've experienced, what do you believe personally happens at the moment of death? Do you believe that the body and soul are separated? Do you believe that there even is a soul? Or are we just a machine that when the power goes out, so does the memory?
There's got to be memory there, just because of some of the evidence I've collected where they're actually speaking to me and telling me things. Is it a soul? I hope so. Is it just energy left in time? I don't think so, because you've even gotten intelligent responses on investigations of your own. I've watched Holter files and I've seen a full-on apparition pop up right behind your back. So that's what keeps me believing that there's something else out there. Yeah, we can talk it off. We can talk it away. You can be like, oh, the moisture was different in this corner of the room than it was over there. It's still the fact that there's no, you look at it and go, oh, it's absolutely this is what keeps me doing this. I totally went off subject from the question you asked. I don't know. And that's why I do this. I want to know. I mean, does it take, you know, after you pass, is there like a training class before you can actually, show up as an apparition? I don't know, but sometimes I feel that might be the case. I don't know. Am I just making some of this up? Yeah, but that's what we do. We're paranormal investigators. We have to try to make what we see, what we hear, make sense. And am I absolutely crazy? Yes, but in the best way possible, because I want to believe. I do believe in the evidence I get. I am so passionate. I've completely done a 180 from going and investigating the most notoriously haunted locations to where now I go to people's homes and I try I'm getting all teary-eyed. To connect them with loved ones they've lost. I mean, I believe in something. I just don't know what to call it.
Fair enough. I get that. No, no reason to apologize. That's what we're here for. I want to hear the different sides, the different thoughts and processes that go into belief systems. Do you find that even in your own team, are there differing opinions of what exactly an experience is?
Not too bad. Clayton, he full on believed that demons were real. It's his religious background versus my religious background. And I don't fault him for thinking that. And I appreciate that's how he feels about it. And I never pushed my thoughts on him, but when he got scared, I was there to talk him down and say, just listen to what's actually being said or feel what this energy is trying to tell us. And I was usually able to pull him out of that. And Carter, my son Carter, he God love him. He was just there to hang out with mom. So and he saw some stuff, you know, he had been affected. He's still not sure what to think about it. Sadly, the book, I'd Rather Talk to Dead People, ended up being kind of the goodbye to the Oddity Files crew. The boys have kind of moved on, and that's why right now I'm trying to help people dealing with hauntings or people trying to reach out to their loved ones. And it's just so much more fulfilling than being in Waverly and trying to figure out who you're talking to.
Well, and we know that you know they've separated. So I'm gifting you, Tim, and many layers of ghost bait that you can rub on him to put him into haunted locations to study, watch, and see how they feed off of Tim. Tim, what do you think? Are you down for it?
Sure, why not? I got nothing going on.
You could call it the Odd Timothy.
I'll email you a contract. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying it's not a far stretch from where you were to where you can be now. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more with Kitsy Duncan. Her book, I'd Rather Talk to Dead People, My Journey as a Paranormal Researcher, is out and available. We have a link for it on today's program guide. Welcome back to the program. This is Darkness Radio, your home for 15 years of the best in paranormal talk radio. Conversations about the unusual, the strange, the supernatural. Today, our guest, Kitsy Duncan, she's written the book, I'd Rather Talk to Dead People, My Journeys as a Paranormal Researcher. All right, Kitsy, I know people want to know some of the creepiest, weirdest, bizarrest, but I want to start off with what is one of the funniest moments investigating claims of the supernatural that ever happened to you?
Okay, I'm going to take you back to Waverly one more time for this. We're in the basement. We're doing the Estes thing where you've got the headphones on. Somebody's asking questions on the other side of the room, and the person with the headphones has it hooked up to a spirit box, and they're just, you know, spewing out whatever they're hearing come over the radio. And we were all set up super quiet in the basement, and out of the blue, an air compressor goes off, and we all peed our pants just a little bit. I don't think it was paranormal. I think it was one of those things where, you know, when it gets so far, it has to release a little bit of air or something like that. But it was freaking hilarious and it took everybody's mood down from, oh my God, we're in the basement of Bobby Mackey's to, okay, it's just us. We're having a good time.
Yeah. So was that Bobby Mackey's or Waverly?
That was Bobby Mackey's. Did I say Waverly? Gotcha. I'm sorry.
I thought it started with Waverly when you opened it, but I could be wrong. So that was one of those false evidence appearing real, right? In the moment. Terrifying.
And
as hell.
Literally peed.
Yeah. That can be a good shocker. But let's talk about some of the most unusual experiences that you've had, maybe some of the most profound moments that have really affected you.
So there's old Lake County Jail and Sheriff's house in Crown Point, Indiana. It's Lake County, Indiana. It's where I grew up. It's where I call home. It's actually the jail that Dillinger broke out of back in the day. And it was early, early on in all of this. And I walked into the jail for the first time. I'm like, oh, this such a creepy vibe here. So, you know, my senses were tingling. Everything was on edge. And the lady who runs the tours there, she was telling me about Fur. And he was actually Al Capone's hitman. Very, very bad man. Was put away early for raping and trying to kill a 12-year-old. So, I mean, just a terrible, terrible man. So I'm on edge again because, you know, I wore my tight jeans that night and I happened to try flirting with the ghost to get them to interact, you know, whatever it takes. And he tries to, via a K2 session we were having, he tried to separate me from my group. And like I said, I'm on edge. And whatever you're bringing into the investigation, it's going to heighten any kind of reaction you get paranormal-wise to the nth degree. And he just wanted me to leave the jail cell we were in and go on the other side of the bars. But I was such a whiny baby about it because I don't even know what I thought was going to happen. I don't know if I thought he was going to kill me or I don't know. So I finally go out there. I count to 10. I run back in, and the obelisk, which I'm torn with the obelisk. This is the old school obelisk. Sometimes every once in a great while, you get the perfect word at the perfect time. But the name Harriet came over. So we started questioning about who Harriet may be. And then he tried to get me out in the hallway again, separated. And then he whispered in my ear. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is terrible. I don't know why I'm doing this. Come to find out through question and answer through the K2 meter, I reminded him of an ex-girlfriend. I hope he didn't kill her. But once I calmed down and actually investigated the paranormal and started freaking out for absolutely no reason, he didn't want to hurt me, this big, bad Al Capone's hitman, Mr. Fur Samson. I just reminded him of a girlfriend, and, you know, I'm taunting him with my booty jeans. Of course he's going to try to separate me from the group. So that, long story short, that's when I started to realize that these spirits are not out to hurt you. Because if anybody would want to hurt me, you would think it would be James Fur Samson from Lake County, Indiana.
That's it, Tim. Next time we go investigating, you're putting on your tight jeans, your booty jeans. We're going to see if we can't stir a little action in prison.
I always bring my booty jeans to prison. I don't know about you.
Kitsy, I love that you're just so, yeah, I wore my hottest, tightest jeans and decided to flirt with the ghost. And just unabashedly, you know, there's no pretense to your ways. But hey, if it works and it gets you some activity, although, you know, do you ever find that, you know, I mean, to me, that's, you're in a prison. You're dealing with men spirits who may have been there most of their lives, cut off from females. Then you come in looking all alluring and flirting with them. That to me seems like, and boy, I can already hear the hate mail just because she's just this way, Dave. And that's, I'm sorry. It is when, and you're openly admitting that you're kind of trying to be persuasive.
I taunted him. Yeah.
Right. Aren't you afraid that's when the attachment's going to happen? Because these guys, hey, Hotsy Totsy came in to visit me and was flirting. That would be what I would think would be your biggest concern.
That was back in the day where I was new to this, and I didn't really think that was a thing. And I thought, you know, you take some sage out when you're done, and they have to listen to you. Well, now I know better. Have I gone back and talked to Fur? Yes. Have I been a little firmer with Fur? Say, and I will. You know what? I did go back another time, and I told him to give me a kiss. And I have been kissed by an assassin ghost in Lake County, Indiana. But that, you know, you can't, I just do what I do.
Give me a kiss. Okay. Well, I mean, it's a different way. It's a different way. That's all I can say. When you say that though, I mean, did you feel like, lips brush against your cheek? Did they touch your lips? You know, was it a full on, how you doing kind of kiss or, grandma, well, happy birthday kind of kiss?
It almost felt like butterfly wings on my lips for a second.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there's no proof of it. That was my experience.
That was a single that Tim cut in the 70s, Butterfly Wings on My Lips. Very good romantic song. Leo Sarah originally wrote it, but Tim's masterful version has outsold everybody by at least 10 copies.
It was very successful. I also, Dave, have asked for a kiss in prison and got punched right in the chin. Didn't work as well for me.
Well, in my defense, I wasn't in the mood to kiss. All right.
Sorry.
So you know, employing these different tactics, did you kind of do it, in all honesty, did you do it because you just thought there's no way in hell this is going to happen? Was it just because you were bored? People don't realize ghost hunting isn't like you see it on TV. It is, but you're in there for hours with nothing taking place. And I want people to remember that. I film with Holzer Files 5 to 6 days at a location, hour upon hour investigating to get, when you compile it and put it back to back to back, 3 seconds worth of evidence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a lot of sitting by yourself in the dark, talking to yourself.
Did you ever find that just in kind of shooting the breeze with your teammates, the ghosts engaged with you more that way as opposed to when you were trying to get their attention?
Absolutely. No, I really think that's legit a thing. I mean, you think about it. Okay, you look at these, you think of these spirits as human beings, and you're cutting up in this room, having a good time, telling, you know, jokes. I mean, why would that spirit not want to come over and go, hey guys, can I hang out with you? You know, I mean, you think of these spirits like you would think of how a human would interact in that situation. You want to go hang out with the cool kids that are cutting up on the other side of the room, and you're recording it, and, you know, they're trying to get on your conversation in EVP form because, you know, you're not hearing it with your ears at the time. But that's how I am as a person. I'm terrible about that. People are having conversations in the grocery line, and I'm listening, you know, not even thinking I'm part of the conversation. All of a sudden, I'm just like, oh, my God, that happened to me, too.
Yeah, I just, you know, you start doing the absurd during an investigation, sometimes because nothing's happening and you wonder what's, you know, what is it going to take to connect with that spirit and, you know, to get kind of response. Booty jeans, obviously. Now it's something I'm going to try. Holzer Files season 3, should it come through, expect Dave Schrader booty jean. I'm not afraid to flail around and show the goods God gave me, Tim. You know that.
I think Shane Pittman would look much better in booty jeans than you. It's just me. It's just my preference, but, you know.
I'll take Dave in the booty jeans for sure.
I like that. Keep that little sound bit for me just so I've got it to listen to in my old age, would you, Tim?
All right.
I'll take Dave in booty jeans for 10, Alex. All right, so... Now, you've had these kind of friendly encounters. Have you ever felt violated? And I don't want you to get too graphic, but I mean, have you ever felt violated physically, emotionally, spiritually by these energies?
I have not. I will say for, you know, the guy we were talking about earlier, I did feel him grab my ass that night, but I totally asked for it. Totally asked for that. But no, nothing where, no. I don't know why. I don't know why that happens to some people and not everybody, but I do, you know me. If you don't know me, sometimes I come off a little intimidating. I do have a severe resting bitch face. So maybe that's part of it. And like I said, you know, when the ghosts aren't giving me what I want or if they're misbehaving at all, I pull out the mommy voice and maybe that's why. I don't know. Maybe I'm just fortunate.
What do you think of when you look at the sense of the strength of spirits? You said that you don't feel they can hurt you. I got knocked on my ass at the Whaley House. I got bit in the arm aboard the Constellation. I have a different vibe on if ghosts can hurt you. Now, I also realize that, you know, I don't feel like he was going for the kill. Neither one of them. They were getting my attention. But, you know, that was a shocker to me to have that kind of contact made and realize, because to me that felt like I felt violated. I felt very unprepared for that type of show of ability.
Oh, I would have too. I watched both of those episodes. I'm like, oh my God, is he okay? I mean, you just flew across that room. Now, fortunately, that's not happened to me. If it did, I too would feel violated. But I don't provoke in any way, shape, or form on these investigations. I don't know if that's why I've not been thrown across the room. But I am firm with them when need be. I don't know. I'm sure it'll happen someday and my whole tune on all of that will change. But I believe that happened. I saw it happen to you. You know, I was like, holy shit, I should text him and see if he's okay. Thank God I didn't, but that would have been creepy. But yeah, it's just not happened to me. And I believe it happened to you and I believe it happens to others. I just don't, like you said, though, I don't think they're trying to hurt you. Well, maybe some, but not kill you.
Huh. All right. All right. Well, that's one thought on this. Now, in your thoughts, too, with what you've come across, do you believe that you are dealing always with the spirit of humans, or do you think that there are other energies, or I don't know if you want to call them earth energies, elementals, things that predate humanity? What do you think is amongst us?
I think that's a thing. I do. And I don't know if it's something that's, you know, earthbound or just not human entities, or maybe it's just so old that it's lost its any sense of being human. I've run into an entity like that once, and it still puzzles me to this day. It was very elusive of any evidence it would give. It made us feel like we were running in circles the entire night, but it just didn't feel right. But it didn't feel evil either. So, and then like 2 days after that investigation, I was meditating. I know I've got my hippie stuff again, but I saw what this thing was crawling up the stairs of the basement of that location, Jailhouse Pizza in Bradenburg, Kentucky. And it legit looked like Gollum. And I'm like, okay, I hope that's my mind playing tricks on me. But I immediately called my spirit medium friend. I'm like, oh my God, please tell me it didn't follow me home. She's like, no, you're fine. So I just left it there. Terrifying.
Yikes. See, now that's the kind of stuff that I don't know. Is there a point that you think enough's enough? I don't need to explore this any further?
Oh, I probably won't go back to that place.
I mean the paranormal in general. What is enough evidence? What is enough to tell Kitsy, okay, I think my journey in this exploration is done?
I don't know. I'm sure, you know what? It's the questions that keep me going. It's the lack of definitive scientific proof that keeps me going. Excuse me. But I hope, I don't want it to end. I hope it doesn't end. I hope it's still intriguing me. I hope that, you know, the equipment just keeps getting cooler and cooler. So I want to go out and try new stuff. I don't see an end anytime. You're going to see me 90 years old with a cane in that jail up in Lake County, Indiana, going, hey, fur, you want to give me a kiss?
No, move on. Yeah. Bring your daughter. Do you, how do I want to phrase this? There are days I ask, do I spend too much focus on what comes next and not focus as much on just living for the now? How does that affect and impact you?
It's actually something I work on all the time. It's, you know, living in the present and, you know, enjoying life, stop worrying about the afterlife and start focusing on your own life. But when my husband and I became empty nesters, I had a lot more time on my hands, but it is something I struggle with. I try to embrace the spiritual side of things and try meditating more. I've been looking more into the witches of TikTok. How cool is that stuff? You know, just, I can't think in the box. I'm not that girl. I'm not the pick up your lattes at Starbucks in your Ugg boots kind of girl. I always have to be the weird one, if that makes any sense. So, you know, sitting around watching soap operas isn't going to appease me. I need to know more about the weird and the macabre. And that's where my podcast came in handy. So now I'm obsessed with cryptids and I'm obsessed with curses and things like that. It's more than just the ghosts. Aliens still and always will scare the crap out of me. Thank you so much, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I don't think I'll ever embrace thought of aliens as a good thing, but there's so much out there. So I try to, you know, I still try to be present when my family's here, but the rest of the time I'm off in La La Land trying to find more out about cryptids and all that cool stuff.
What now is more fascinating to you? Is it the idea of these cryptid creatures, ghosts of cryptid creatures, aliens? Where does it fall in for you?
I'm still obsessed with ghosts. I won't lie about it. Bigfoot is a close second, but I've watched the shows on Bigfoot hunting. That's too much outside time for me. I'm an indoorsy kind of girl. So that's why I'm not ghosts. You don't find me in cemeteries investigating. I'm in a building with windows and a door that locks because people scare me more than the dead do.
I concur. Boy, if they could just find a good Bigfoot hunting spot where I could sit in a cabin with air conditioning in the summer or heat in the winter and be able to enjoy all of the cable channels and internet and find Bigfoot. Boy, sign me up. That's the kind of investigation I'm looking for.
Exactly. We did get an RV this year because travel is different.
Yeah.
But so I may finally give the old Bigfoot hunting a try. I don't know. It's just such a wide open space. When you're paranormal investigating, you're in a room. You see view it all. You know what I'm saying? A bear's not going to come at you in the middle of Whaley House. You know, a deer's not going to attack you.
Just do us a favor. Please, while you're out there looking for Bigfoot, wear a mask because you don't want to be the one that finds him and you end up giving him COVID and then he's dead. Boy, Kitsy, that would be a horrible part of your legacy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I will totally do that. Oh, my God, I never thought of that.
That's why they're getting harder and harder to find right now. They're like, these humans are morons. They're not wearing masks. Stay hidden, Larry. Maybe I'm reading. I don't know. That's just what comes up. So now you also have a really exciting job. You do photography. And you work for a lot of the different celebrity conventions and you get a chance to meet and greet with celebrities. And I know that you've talked to many on your podcast and befriended many of them. What are some of your favorite celebrity ghost stories?
Oh my gosh. Norman Reedus had a great one. He was, you know, filming Blade 2 or 3 in Romania or somewhere super fancy. And they put him up in this house to stay that was totally haunted. But Norman, he's so freaking smart. He had a conversation with the ghost. It's like, look, I got to be here for a minute. If we can just learn to kind of cohabitate and if you could just let me sleep so I can be on set when I need to be on set. And the ghost just left him alone. But I mean, the thing used to go through the apartment, just slamming doors everywhere until Norman's just like, dude, I can't deal. Which that's how I really feel like it went down. He's just like, dude, I can't deal with this. You gotta let me get some sleep, man.
Gotta love that. What about, you know, what are some of your other, I guess, favorite celebrity ghosty stories, or even if they're more into Bigfoot or UFOs? Because it does surprise me how many celebrities are pretty open about their fascination with the other side.
You know what? I get a mix. I've worked with a lot of celebrities, and a lot of them are like, yeah, I got a ghost story, but I don't want to be on your podcast. I'm like, oh, fine, dude, whatever. But Milo Ventimiglia, he had seen a spirit in a hotel that he wasn't sure if it was real or not, but then it's come to find out his girlfriend had seen it too. Bruce Campbell sees weird lights outside of his house in the middle of nowhere, Utah, that could or could not be aliens. Robert Englund, his dad may or may not have seen a UFO as well. So, I mean, everybody's got great stories. I haven't had a good celebrity ghost story since yours, actually, when I was in Minnesota doing the live podcast. It's
been a hot minute.
And you consider that celebrity?
Yes, of course.
Wow.
I'm sad for you.
I'm sad for you that I'm considered the celebrity, you know. Oh, Kitsy, get out and enjoy life more. That's all I can say. In revealing yourself in this book, what were some of the aspects that surprised you? Because I noticed as I'm writing, there are things that have connected, and I'm like, wow, where did this come back from? What do you say about that in your own world?
You know, I realized by writing this book, and I said this at the top of this interview, that I have learned more about paranormal investigating from the spirits themselves and how to deal with them than I could learn in any other way. I've also actually, this is going to sound, I'm not a people person. That's why the book is called I'd Rather Talk to Dead People, because I would. But they've also taught me that people just need to have a little more empathy. You do. You have to listen to other people. You don't have to always agree with them. You can agree to disagree, but just, you know, be nice to people. Even if, you know, you walk into a place that's known for, you know, calling women terrible names, just listen, try to find out why that's the case. I went to a location like that, come to find out that the guy's still a little salty that his wife cheated on him. Penny, she was sleeping around, you know, and he takes it out and all that. And I literally, it's like, I talk to these spirits like I would talk to you. I'm like, dude, that doesn't mean all women are bad. And by the end of the night, that ghost, I did not start it this time, was flirting with me. So there you go.
Does your husband ever get jealous with all this extracurricular phantom affairs you're having?
No, he knows I was. I am a natural flirt. That's just, I don't mean anything by it. 9 times out of 10, I'm just being nice, and people think I'm a flirt. But
9 times out of 10, Kitsy is a husband. It's that 10th time that worries me.
Yeah, well, I probably should take that back then.
It's always great catching up. I'd Rather Talk to Dead People, my journey as a paranormal researcher, the acclaimed host of The Oddity Files, Kitsy Duncan, our guest today. We have a link for her book and website up on today's program. Kitsy, thanks again for stopping in and giving us a little bit of your time. We always appreciate checking in with you.
I always love hanging out with you. And I need to have you on as a celebrity guest on mine as well.
Yeah, bring Tim on. You know, he's got a TV show over on Discovery Plus.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Tim, you're a celebrity paranormal, too.
Paranormal, I don't know about night celebrity, shift. But yeah. Hey, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Although Tim did break
the
TV.
Discovery Plus. I'm gonna check it out.
The minute Tim got a TV show, they went straight to streaming service. So
that's true.
Tim broke TV. It's Tim's fault, folks.
He's ahead of his time.
He is. Always ahead of the curve.
I broke
TV. All right, Kitsy. Stay safe, and we will talk to you again soon. All right, that's it for this week, folks. Remember, we'll be back tomorrow with a brand new edition of Holzer's Ghosts. I hope that you'll tune in and check that out. And then next week with all new True Crime Tuesday, supernatural news, and more guests right here on the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader. That's Tim Dennis. This is Darkness Radio.